Good morning and welcome to you all. How lovely it is to see the sun shining through the glass onto us. If you're a visitor for the first time, we're delighted to see you. I'd like to offer a special welcome to Reverend Dong Chun Lee and Yong Hee So, who are Hae-yun Burge's parents. Reverend Dong Chun Lee is a newly retired chair of the National Council of Churches in Korea. It's lovely to see you here. Welcome. Next, we've got three services today, and tea and coffee will be served between the morning services and after the evening service, which starts at 6:30. Next Sunday is our 11 o'clock service, but before then there will be a very short church meeting because we have a matter that we need to consider before the regular May meeting. Please could you remember in your prayers Maddie and her friend's family, Trish. Next Sunday, we will have our community tea here at 3 o'clock. Please come and invite others along. And we'd also like to offer an open invitation to share Easter Sunday lunch at a local restaurant. Carluccio's, indeed, is the place of choice. You've already booked a table. So Bethany's organising it. I didn't put Carluccio's over there because I can't spell it. But if you're interested, contact Bethany or me. Sorry? Yes, thank you very much. Thank you. There is the new Commitment for Life information sheets that are giving the updates of the countries that Commitment for Life support available at the back of the vestry. And finally, Ray would like to talk about the Disasters Emergency Committee appeal.
Good morning. If people aren't aware, we've got a humanitarian crisis in East Africa. 16 million people across South Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya and Somalia are in urgent need of food. You've probably seen it on your news channels and in the newspapers. It's a sad situation. People are dying from hunger and malnutrition across East Africa, and it's the worst drought in over 50 years. Christian Aid, together with their partners in the DEC, which is the Disaster Emergencies Committee, have set up a fund. You can give online. It's very easy. If you go to christianaid.org, there's a very simple giving website there. And next week, to make it easier for people, I'll be bringing in some envelopes and there'll be a special collection made next week. So this is just to put it in your minds. Next week, there's a special collection for Christian Aid through the Disaster Emergency Committee for the East Africa Famine Relief. Thank you.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord who is our Maker. Let us join to worship the living God. We join to sing, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. See that little tiny weeny glitch at the beginning of that last verse? Do you remember when every single week there was a glitch with the technology? Do you remember that? It feels, isn't it, so long ago? And do you remember the red face of Dave Richards? So let us pray. We gather here as the people that we are, with the challenges that we face, the joys and the sorrows that are ours, the pain and the struggle, the happiness, the things that we've overcome, the week that is ahead. And we ask that you would bring us together, O God, to offer the best of our worship. You are God of tenderness and God of furious love. You are God of strength and God of kindness. And we come to you in confidence. We ask that you would forgive us because we have often ignored the fact that you offer abundant life to us. We have grieved you because we have thought that you measure life in the way that we measure it out. So we are grateful that you do not count that which is wrong in us, but offer your abundant forgiveness. And you have come in Jesus, who has given us life and rescued us. Lord our God, cleanse and renew us, and give us joy in our hearts and strength for the challenges that are ours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Do you want this?
Good morning. Children, come and join me. I can't see anything. Too much hair. Right. We've got some pictures for the screen. Do we have some pictures? Look of, I don't know what she's talking about on her face. I see what you mean by the look of horror on the person's face. We've got some pictures. Right, in a minute, Aaron, come sit over here, actually, with the others. And Dahi and Sophia are going to help me. We're going to have some pictures on the screen And I want you to tell me who those people are and what they do. Okay? See if you can do that. And if you don't know who they are, we can get the adults to help us. So who do you think she is? What's she doing? Dahi. She does give out medicine. She's not a nurse. She doesn't work in a hospital. She works in a shop. What do you think she is? It's a very difficult, long word. You might not know. She is linked to do with medical, yes. A chemist. What's another word for a chemist? Anyone else? A pharmacist. Okay, the pharmacist is handing out medicines. What's the next one? Who do you think that is? Sophia. A doctor, that's right, well done. We go to a doctor when we're feeling fantastic. No, when we're feeling poorly, don't we? And we get advice and treatment from them. Okay, who's the next one, do you think? You already answered this one before. You already said somebody who's looking after that lady, making sure she's warm and well, helps a doctor. Who helps a doctor? A nurse. That's right. Some nurses give medicines as well. And who's the next one? Who, Aaron? A dentist. Who likes going to the dentist? There is actually one lady at the back who put her hand up. She likes going to the dentist. Well done. Yeah, dentist looks after her teeth, doesn't he? Okay, and the last one. Now, this is a more difficult one. This lady gives us exercises to do when our bones and our muscles ache, and they massage us. Begins with P. PH, physio. A physio. It's a longer word than that, though. Should we ask the adults? A physiotherapist. Helps gives us exercises so we get our joints moving when we've got an injury. Now, I've got another question for you. In today's story, Jesus has a friend called Lazarus. And Lazarus was very, very, very poorly. Do you think any of those people could help Lazarus? You do. Who do you think might help Lazarus? Doctor? A nurse? But what if I tell you, now this is sad. This is the sad bit. Lazarus was so poorly that sadly one day he died. Do you think any of those people could help him then? But he did have a friend called Jesus. And I wonder whether Jesus might have been able to help him. We're going to find out in about 2 minutes' time. Okay? But first, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing. Do you know the actions to that? Oh, I'm going to have to teach you, aren't I? Stand up.
Thank you.
See you later. See you later. Surely true. See you later, Screecher. Screecher's dad. Mary Martha, again, as the central focus of our scriptural reading. And their family life, again, the centre. And here we have their brother, Lazarus. And Christine Thompson will read this passage to us.
As someone said, it is a long one. The reading is taken from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 45. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, was ill. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. The sisters sent Jesus a message. Lord, your dear friend is ill. When Jesus heard it, he said, the final result of this illness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he received the news that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, let us go back to Judea. Teacher, the disciples answered, just a short time ago, the people there wanted to stone you. And are you planning to go back? Jesus said, a day has 12 hours, hasn't it? So whoever walks in broad daylight does not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble, because they have no light. Jesus said this and then added, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up. The disciples answered, if he is asleep, Lord, he will get well. Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But for your sake, I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him. Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us all go with the teacher, so that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come out to see Martha and Mary to comfort them over their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask him for. Your brother will rise to life, Jesus told her. I know, she replied, that he will rise to life on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she answered. I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. After Martha said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately. "The teacher is here," she told her, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought that she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord," she said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and he saw how the people who were with her were weeping also. His heart was touched, and he was deeply moved. "Where have you buried him?" he asked them. "Come and see, Lord," they answered. Jesus wept. "See how much he loved him," the people said. But some of them said, "He gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying?" Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He's been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me. But I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes and with a cloth round his face. "Untie him," Jesus told them, "and let him go." Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him. Thanks be to God.
So let us pray. Open my mouth, Lord Jesus, to speak your word. Open the ears of all of us to hear you, your voice, your truth, your mercy, your love. Amen. So this is the story about Mary and Martha, for which Lazarus has a walk-on part. And the question is, about this story, is what is the miracle? And actually, it all boils down to the question, who is Jesus? If Jesus is the Son of God, then certain things surely follow. It's a foundational Christian belief that God has the power over death. If God is God, then I don't want to be rude, but surely that God should have power over death is a pretty basic thing about God. And here we have Jesus raising Lazarus. But right from the beginning of the way the story is constructed, we have a suspicion that this is not going to end badly. The text looks as though Jesus waited back so the stage was set for his intervention. He doesn't hurry. Is it possible that the miracle of this story is not that the Son of God raises a man from the dead? He's the Son of God. It's not that the Son of God raises a man from the dead, but that the Son of God weeps. Why would the Son of God weep? We're so used to thinking of Jesus as God and a human being that sometimes we lose sight of the amazing mystery of this. This is God who is beyond us, and this is the Son of God who is weeping. God who created the universe, surrounded in tears and snot. This is God who is all-powerful and God who knows the pain of sadness in a way that pierces to the very heart of him. And as with loads of things, if it's okay for Jesus, then it's okay for us. So let me ask you, when do you weep? And how do you feel about yourself when you weep? And please note the permission being granted in this story. It's a story about Jesus being deeply moved, and by Martha's declaration of faith, by the sadness that she displays, and by the tomb itself. And where is the miracle? I was once in the company of a group of young people that I have a conversation with annually. They're great young people, but they've all had something go on, and they can't do school in the way that most young people do school. And they asked me, they play a game, they have to look at me and work out what I do for a living. And once they've guessed it, then we talk about the big stuff. In the case of some of them, they get it very quickly because they recognise me from doing assemblies. They say to me, "Do you believe in miracles?" "Yes." "Tell us about a miracle." "No." "Because I do believe in miracles, but the miracles I believe in are the sorts of things that if somebody deconstructs them, they can easily say, it's just coincidence." Too easily. "And that they're just off chances. They are, however, I do, however, know of miracles with me daily. And I also know that if I open my eyes, I see more of them. And I also know that if I listen to the Spirit, and if I am leaning more into the Spirit, then I experience more of them. And I also know that they are usually uncelebrated, even by me, who, when I recognize them, I go, yeah, and move on. But they are miraculous nonetheless." Where is the miracle? What about the miracle in Martha's words? Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" And Martha says, "Yes, I believe." She says it to a man who is standing in front of her, a physical human being that she's known, we presume, for years. He's been her pal, and she recognizes him, and she knows him. And he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." And she says, "I believe." Isn't that miraculous? So I would like to suggest that we, people of faith, need to remember that we are in the world not of one event or one miracle. And I would like to say to you this. I have every confidence that God has power over death, and that when I'm dead, I will be closer to God than I am on the earth. I believe that. However, if I wake up the morning after I'm dead, you know, I know that's nuts, but you know what I mean, and I'm still dead, I will not feel cheated. Because I believe that my life has been transformed in the here and the now because I am a follower of Jesus. I believe in the miraculous intervention of God in my life day by day in the here and the now. I'm not denying eternal life. Don't form a pyre outside and burn me. I'm not saying that. Though I know some of you have issues with it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying here and now, we can know the miraculous. Every day, God is at work around us. And sometimes we need to open our eyes. Sometimes we need to stop. Sometimes we need to celebrate. Is it possible, if we opened our eyes, we could recognize that there are bits of us that actually are dead and in need of resurrection? Are there relationships that we actually need to do some work on? Things that we need to say sorry for? Are there people that we've treated badly and we need to sort that out? Even ourselves? Need to sort out the way we look after our flesh? Do we need to realize that sometimes actually we're dead in the way that we regard other people? The weakest people? Are some of the views that we have dead in terms of people who are issues around gender and race and sexuality and power? Actually, some of the stuff that's going on in our hearts and heads is dead, and we need the life-giving, transformational power of the Spirit to bring us to life. Are we dead in the way that we look at the Scriptures? Are we dead in the way that we listen for God's truth from unlikely people? People who are different from us politically, racially. And we gather at the table. And that also is a miracle. God is at work in bread. Let's be clear. If Jesus had been an Oriental person, God would be at work in rice. God is at work in bread. So ordinary. So everyday. God is at work in bread. And that means, sisters and brothers, that God could be at work in flesh and blood. How miraculous is that? And God could be at work in your flesh and blood and my flesh and blood. How amazing. And yet, our truth. Let us pray. for those who weep on this day. The bombs have come again. We must leave our home and our country. He is dead. She is ill. He is leaving. There is not enough money. Nobody listens. Help us when it is our turn to cry, to have safe people to cry with. And help us to believe that you care about our tears. Lord, never let us go. Help us to remember that you are the one who brings life from death, and you are the one who can heal our world. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. For the challenges of the last week. For the difficulties in our work. The struggles with our budget. The battle to feed ourselves well. To remember that there is the need to celebrate as well as to mourn. These gifts of wine, of bread, of money, these are the symbols. We return them. We offer ourselves. Amen. We join to sing, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ," 453. Lord Jesus says, "Come to this table, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you life." I am the one, he says, who comes to give you life in all its fullness. We believe that this is the Lord's table. We are custodians of it. We do not decide who eats and drinks here, for we would eat and drink with all who would eat and drink with us. The elders will serve you where you are. When they offer you bread, if it is your wish, would you take some bread and then eat it? If you have issues with wheat and gluten, then please, there is provision for you. When the elders bring you the wine, would you hold it and we will all drink together? If you would eat with us, then we would gladly eat with you, for this is the Lord's table and we believe that all are welcome here. For the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Do this to remember me." And in the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So we take bread, we take wine, and we do as Jesus did. We give thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you. All we have comes from you. You are the resurrection and you are the life, and we worship and adore you. You are God who brings life from death, hope from despair, beauty from ashes, flesh from dry bones. Thank you that you have included us in your great promise. Thank you that you have offered each one of us a fresh start and a new beginning, a life following you. Thank you. Thank you for the precious gift of your Spirit in our lives, changing the people that we are, helping us to see you at work in our world, giving us the courage to speak your good news. Thank you for Jesus, for his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection. Thank you for your presence with us and in us and around us. Thank you that you will be with us through bread and wine. And these elements you would transform in our sight as the body and blood of Jesus. And you would transform us to be your holy, gracious, generous, loving people. We thank you in his name. Amen. The body of Christ. pessimism, you see that? Oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, oh, oh. There's all sorts of kerfuffle going on at the front here. Oh, we're in a world of all sorts of stuff. Have a seat, brothers and brothers. The blood of Christ. Let us pray. It is the loving parent holding up the splinter that caused so much pain from the child's finger and says, "See, there, that's all it is." It is the dentist holding up the diseased tooth for the patient to see. It is the therapist after hours of listening. See, that's what it is. It is the untimely death of Jesus showing us, the human race, something dark in our nature. And yet there is hope. See, there. That's what it is. God of suffering humanity, help us to know that your tears for the world will merge with our sadness. That you are God of our streets and our planet. You will open our eyes to see you, our mouths to speak of you. And our hearts to you and to your people. Lord, we pray. Amen. Our final hymn, Make Me a Channel. 629. prayer as we go. Living God, may we know that you go with us into the lives that we lead. May we know your strength and your peace surrounding us always. In Jesus' name, amen.